There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of... Let's see, that was my zombie thing. Another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that feels like it's dead at this point, but keeps coming back to life every year and continues to ramble on. And Lee is off getting her hair done. So, oh, wait a minute. Is she trying to get a hold of me? Eh? No. Oh, wait. Yes, she is. She's writing something, people. Hold on. She's writing. She's writing. She's a... Okay. She's writing a lot. So, anyway, she's off getting her hair done, and she's not going to be joining us unless this message says that she is. Wow, this is thoroughly interesting pod. All right. Well, anyway... We'll just go ahead and soldier on while we wait for that message to come through. I believe that she's sending it via carrier pigeon at this point. Oh, wait, came in. Leah's not here yet. I'm turning on her computer so it is ready. Oh, it was her husband that was putting that there. I thought she was typing that, which would be really weird. All right. Anyway, joining me tonight from the Apocalypse Rising track is director Shannon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Was my zombie and any good?
It was. It was excellent.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. So Apocalypse Rising, first of all, what is it?
That's a good question. We basically cover the end of the world. So anything that has to do with how the world ends, to how you survive after that meteor hits or that hurricane hits. We do things from survivalism to first aid panels to having post-apocalyptic authors come in and just talk about zombies, the different kinds of zombies, and how to create a zombie story.
Do you talk about how to create a zombie army?
We haven't yet. But there's, you know,
there's still time. Who knows? The schedule's always in flux. By the way, as we record this, we are now 7 days out. By the time you hear this, it'll probably be about 3 days out. But so what guests, and of course, everything is tentative. What guests do you currently have on tap for your track?
We've got some really great guests this year. We have the cast of Defiance coming back, yay, which we're super excited about. We have Grant Bowler is going to be returning. And then we also have some new members. We have Jesse Raff as well as Tony Curran coming. So we've got...
And where would people know them from? They're all...
Jesse Raff, I think, is pretty new onto the scene. Tony Curran, you know him as soon as you see him without all that around your makeup on. Mm-hmm. But we also have people would definitely know. Julie Benz is also...
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Yeah, she's familiar to everybody. and then we have Falling Skies people coming.
Yay!
We have Drew Roy, who plays the oldest son, Hal.
Mm-hmm.
We also have...
The one that I thought for certain I would want to kill in the first season.
Right? He did. And then he grew on you.
Yeah, then yes, like a fungus. He grew up. No, he's fine now. But in the first season, I really wanted to punch him in the face. But anyway, move on.
Yeah. I can't argue. And then we have the guy that everybody loves to hate, Colin Cunningham, who plays, was recently announced. So that's super exciting. We also have, and I'm going to butcher his name, and if he hears this ever, I'm going to apologize, Fo Pau, who plays Anthony, who has been on pretty much almost every episode. And you see him a lot in the storyline of Anne Glass. And then last but not least, Scarlett, who, no spoilers, who plays the daughter of the Mason clan, is also going to be there. She was announced just a couple days ago.
Oh, sweet. That's cool. Yeah. So that's a nice big, no Noel Wiley yet?
No, I keep trying. You know, I keep trying.
He's working on his ER reunion right now. So
yeah, exactly. One day, hopefully. But yeah, next season is the last season of Falling Skies. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to get him. Yeah, it's been announced by TNT that it'll be the last season.
Oh, well, boom.
I know. I love that show so much. I'm going to be really sad when it's gone. But hopefully, in its ending, we'll be able to get Noah to attend.
All right, cool.
We have a little The Poor, Sad, and Deceased Revolution. Which got canceled this past year. But we're lucky enough to have Stephen Collins and Giancarlo Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
Are going to get together for a little reunion and do a panel for us.
It's interesting. And I'm probably, yeah, I'm part to blame. Yes, it's me. Because Revolution, what do you call it? I never got caught up on. And so I think that was probably much of their, because it was a show that I liked. And I liked a lot, but it wasn't a show that was, I had to get to immediately. Which is unfortunate, though, because it actually had a very nice premise. I really liked its premise immensely. So
did I. But it was very character driven.
Mm-hmm.
And if you missed an episode or two, I even admit it was really hard to kind of dive back in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were sad to see it go. We're happy that it made it at least two seasons, and I'm looking forward to talking with Giancarlo and Steven, their take on it, because we weren't able to have anybody from the show last year. And then, let me see, last but not least, we are hijacking Adam Baldwin from the Whedon track for one panel for his new show, The Last Ship.
Oh, you know what? I have not checked that out. I have not checked out that show yet. There's so much, by the way, there is so much good television on what would used to be called, you know, like, I don't know what, basic cable, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But there's so much good television going on there that, you know. It's hard to keep up with all of it.
It's impossible to keep up with all of it. I mean, I will admit that I kind of play TV episodes on my iPhone while I work, just to try and keep up. Because there's, you know, I try to watch everything that has to do with our genre, post-apocalyptic, zombie, all that kind of stuff. And it's a popular genre right now. There's a lot of TV just for that set of stuff. So it's challenging to keep up. I enjoy it, but it's challenging.
Yeah. So you have some authors, too?
We do have some authors. Jonathan Mayberry is going to be attending one of our panels.
Very cool.
It's called Bits and Pieces, and it is basically going to be Jonathan Mayberry, Elizabeth Donald, and then a couple of the other like editors and producers that are in attendance. And they're going to be talking about how to create a unique zombie character and or story in this day and age where there are zombie stories all over the place.
Yeah, you're right. Cause now, I was going to ask if there's fan fiction for Walking Dead, but of course there is. And it probably involving zombies. And of course there is. I don't even know why. I don't even know why I bother asking. Cause I'm not going to go looking for it, but I know it exists.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, you're right. It's everywhere. It's sort of like blossom. And to be honest with you, I can't remember anything kind of in, you know, our sphere of genre-ness of geek worldery that has kind of in recent history come on like this. I mean, you know, Star Wars has always kind of been there. Star Trek's always kind of been there. Comics have always kind of been there. But zombies sort of came out of nowhere, and just apocalypse sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, we really did. I mean, there were a few things here and there, like, you know, this is the 10-year anniversary of Shaun of the Dead, and there were a couple really popular mainstream items here and there, but it was probably, I guess, about 5-6 years ago where it just, the genre hit the ground running, and everywhere you looked, there was a zombie or a meteor or a world-ending earthquake.
Well, what do you attribute it to? What do you think actually happened there that turn the genre basically on full?
Yeah. In terms of zombies, I think zombies are just cool. They're awesome. They're diverse. There's all kinds of zombies, which people, I think, started to realize. They started to kind of find out a little bit more through the couple mainstream things and started to figure out that there was a lot more to it than just this creature that moaned and ate brains. And I know that a lot of like comic books, graphic novels, and novels themselves started taking on and fleshing out, really, pun not intended, but started to kind of give a life to the universe where zombies existed.
Or unlife, as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
So real quick, I want to ask you obviously some more stuff about your track, but fast zombies or slow zombies?
I like slow zombies.
All right. Zombies can't accelerate in your mind.
No, you know, yeah, they don't. I mean, they're decaying beings. I really don't see them sprinting anywhere anytime soon.
Or really any need to. I mean, for whatever reason, they're able to catch everybody. Actually, my friends and I were talking at lunch today, and I was like, well, in the event of a zombie outbreak, I'll just go to Montana. There's nobody out there.
Yeah, right?
I mean, just live it. Then my friend pointed out, well, you've got to get to Montana.
Yes. And then you have to deal with, like, the zombie wildlife that will pop up.
Even. Yes.
And that's the truly terrifying thing for me, because it's the virus, ultimately, mm-hmm. you know, probably, when viruses mutate. And it would not stay, in theory, with the human population. It would cross and jump species. So then you've got things more terrifying like zombie dogs, zombie mice, things that get everywhere, you know? So they don't have to be fast because they can be sneaky.
Are you doing any panels on the science of all this stuff?
We actually, one of our first panels on Friday is called Apocalypse Now, Zombies in a Diseased and Digital Era. And that kind of is discussing real things that might manifest themselves as zombie-like symptoms. Like there's a drug out there right now, I think, called Crocodile that kind of makes the person kind of turn into a zombie-like state. So we're going to be looking at that.
Is it one that's useful for anything, or is it just happens to exist?
No, I think it's just out there.
That's crazy. So what other big events do you have going?
Well, of course, we have our zombie walk and zombie prom. Both of those are back, though this year they're not on Friday. They're going to be held on Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday.
Yeah, we're moving to Sunday this year.
Okay, what is a zombie walk?
A zombie walk is where basically a bunch of people get dressed up as zombies or zombie hunters. and we coordinate them. And we basically do a walk through the Westin Hotel and then down the street to the Sheraton where the zombie prom is held. And our zombies are told to act like zombies. So it's a horde of zombies shambling and moaning and, you know, pausing for the occasional photo op or what have you. And it's a lot of fun. And that's usually ends at our prom and kind of kicks off the prom. A horde of zombies kind of busting open the doors and entering the prom.
So about what time will the walk commence?
The walk will probably commence right around 9 o'clock. People can start showing up at 8:30, and then we give our little safety speech. The walk starts about 9, and then it usually ends a little bit before 10 at the Sheraton.
You are not dead, but you will be dead if you cross in front of a car.
Yeah, zombies obey all traffic laws. Rule number one.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome if suddenly, like, you know, on The Walking Dead or what have you, they're running around and the zombies actually start obeying crosswalk signs.
I know, right? The red hand comes up and they just stop.
Yeah.
It would make escaping a lot easier, assuming now, still electricity.
Well, that is true. That's a very good point. So the zombie prom and who's it? What is the attire for that? Obviously, probably zombie, but is it enforced or is it just, you know, sort of come as you are, or should I wear a prom dress? I mean, really? No. Should I wear a prom dress?
You know, that sounds like a personal decision that you have to make yourself. I will be in a prom dress, though. So if it makes you feel any better, we can, you know, be dressed up together.
Oh, great.
But really, it is come as you are. For the walk, we strictly enforce that people have to be dressed up as zombies or zombie hunters, simply because if they're not, it just gets to be too big.
Right.
But for the prom, it's a come as you are. We encourage people to dress up as zombies. We do have a costume contest, and the winners are crowned the zombie prom king and queen.
Awesome. Now, do you actually drop blood on top of them at that point?
No, we don't. We don't. Instead of that, we actually offer free makeup services pretty much all day Sunday for people who want.
Oh.
We have Rob Fitz, who's a professional FX artist, and he sets up in front of our track room and does free zombie makeup. The only thing we ask is that you tip him so that he can cover the cost of his materials.
That's awesome. And so you mentioned your room, and we already know that you're in the Westin. But whereabouts in the Westin are you? And do you know what name it is today versus what it was yesterday versus what it will be tomorrow?
I do. I got so excited thinking that we had a different room, and then my co-director realized, no, same room, different name. So we are in Chastain 1-2, which is previously known as Vinings 1-2.
But tomorrow it'll be something completely different.
Oh, I'm sure it will, because that's the way it goes a week out from Dragon Con.
Why wouldn't you?
nothing's final until 10 minutes after it started.
Right, exactly. What other tracks do you have to track? I do this every single podcast at least once. What other panels do you have going of interest to folks?
Well, everything's interesting.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Uninteresting stuff.
But here is the uninteresting stuff. Don't go to this.
Yeah, exactly. Avoid this. Please leave us with an empty room.
That would be awesome for you, because at least then you can go, okay, I'm going to take a nap real quick.
Exactly.
Maybe you should say, this is awful. Just schedule one. That'd be an awesome idea to do for all the directors. Just a awful panel on, I don't know, whatever, hoping that you get an empty room. But of course, if you don't get an empty room, then you actually got to put the panel on. So, you know, there's pros and cons to that.
Even one person shows up, the panel goes on.
Yeah. So. Ken Burns presents The Walking Dead.
Yeah, exactly. as far as interesting stuff, Friday at 4 p.m., Rob Fitz, who I just mentioned, is actually going to do a zombie makeup demo. So people are welcome to come in, and he's going to give tips and tricks that he's learned over the years, ways to do zombie makeup yourself, and then maybe a few more complicated things for the people who are interested in that. Last year, they actually pulled somebody out of the audience and completely made them over. So he might even do that this year. Okay. Free zombie makeover. And then after that, directly after that, Friday at 5:30, we have something called Not Just Another APOC Movie, which we're collaborating with the film festival. And they're actually sending over to us a bunch of their independent post-apocalyptic, apocalyptic, and zombie shorts for us to play. And then have some of the cast and crew of some of those attend.
You know, and I think that the Film Fest moved their zombie block off of Friday night, but I can't say that for 100% sure. But Elizabeth, who does from Zombie Socks, she had emailed me something that her time had actually moved, and it looked like the whole block had moved. But anyway, what other panels do you have going?
On Saturday at 5:30, we have something called What Do I Eat Now? And that's David Harmer, who is an author and a survivalist, coming out to discuss what you eat when the end of the world comes and your grocery store is no more and that mega center is overrun with something. So he'll be going through, and he'll actually have some sample food items as well, to kind of walk people through how you forage for food, what kind of things are safe to eat, what are not, what would you need to go through.
So we're talking about things like plants, but not, he's not going to demonstrate how to skin a deer, right?
Yeah, exactly. There will be no harm came to any animals in the planning of our tracks. he's going to talk about more like plants and wildlife and also canned food. I mean, we think of it as not having an expiration date, but a lot of it actually does.
Yeah. So is water. So is bottled water, believe it or not.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a way to purify your water, things that you can buy in advance to keep on hand. So that's the kind of stuff you'll also be going through. So that's one of our more real world application tracks that we try to have.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then we have A panel, as I'm sure a lot of people noticed, there are no Walking Dead guests this year.
What?
I know. I've gotten a lot of mixed feelings on that.
We'll save that for some other time.
Right, exactly. But
you are in Atlanta, right? Anyway, go on.
Yeah, exactly, right? What we did do is we pulled a lot of the featured zombies from the show over the years. And they're all going to be coming together. There's 6 or 7 of them. It keeps fluxing. But they're going to come together, and they're going to come and talk about what it was like to be a zombie on the show, what it was like working on the show, you know, maybe dish a little dirt. So we do have something there for the Walking Dead fans.
Is there a such thing as a featured zombie?
There is.
Oh.
Yeah, most definitely. There's the bicycle zombie in season 1.
Oh, okay.
In season 2, there was the zombie that was like clawing its way. It didn't have legs or anything. It was just a torso and it's clawing its way.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, there's that particularly gruesome or gnarly zombie, or that zombie that's kind of like ahead of all the other zombies. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what we would consider to be a featured zombie.
Maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Do any of those folks actually go back and play a different zombie?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
Because you can always change zombie makeup.
Yeah.
So a lot of the folks have been extras on the show for several years.
Oh.
And they just keep going back and playing different zombies in the zombie horde, or, you know, hopefully they get a chance to kind of shine a little bit at the front of the pack. But yeah.
Oh, cool. All right. And any other panels that we should check out? I mean, besides all of them?
Yeah. Besides all of them. You know, we do have one more on. We actually have a really good Friday. I'm just starting to realize that as I'm going through everything. We have a one.
Yeah, so you Saturday, Sunday only, folks.
I know. Oh, no. Well, they get the party. So, you know.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, exactly.
Details.
On Friday, we have author Michael D. Williamson. He's an independent author and a weapons specialist and has a lot of training like that. We're going to do a one-on-one panel with him, with Ted Roberts, who's also known as Speaker to Lab Animals, kind of interviewing him. And those two together are hysterical. So even if you don't really know who Michael D. Williamson is, or you're not really sure what he's going to talk about, you never know what's going to come out of that man's mouth. And it's almost always really, really funny. So that I would definitely recommend as well.
Cool. Now I'm going to ask you what one of Lee's last question, which is that everything aligns. Somehow you get a crossbow and you can kill all the zombies and get out of your track. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see that's not on your track this year?
What would I like to see that is not on my track this year?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one.
Any guest or panel that you really would really want to hit, because you know you have all this free time that you're not doing anything at Dragon Con. So
I have been trying ever since I became director, and I know the directors before me have been trying to get Max Brooks to come to Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a big one that I would move mountains to be able to have him come to Dragon Con and do panels with us.
Well, I was actually asking, what would you like to do this year at Dragon Con that's not on your track?
Oh, this year.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean something that I couldn't put into the schedule?
I was sitting there going, wait, why would Max Brooks be at Dragon Con?
Hey, not
on the Apocalypse track. That seems weird.
Sometimes you have to repeat the question 3 different times.
Well, again,
go on sleep.
Again, yes, 7 days before con, so forgive them, folks.
No.
I mean, like, that Picard guy is there. I mean, folks like that. Well, who would you like to go see that you don't already get to see?
Oh, who would I like? Oh, who's coming that I would like to see?
Yeah.
I know they've announced a bunch of people that I'm like, ooh, that would be a fun panel to attend if I wasn't, you know, always in my track room making things or going smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
David Blue. They announced David Blue, who is from, like, Stargate Universe and Ugly Betty and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh,
and I've been a fan of his for a while. So I would definitely love to go see one of his panels. He's very funny. Such a nice guy. One of the guests that comes to Dragon Con because they love Dragon Con. And I would love to do that. And I'd actually love to buy him a drink in the bar. So if anybody sees David Blue wandering around the Marriott bar, you know, tweet our Twitter account.
Or if he happens to be in the Westin for any one reason.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah. I know. I need to schedule Stockholm a little bit.
Well, now let me ask you my last question. And in this case, in the past, I've asked different questions. But this year, I'm going to ask you this. If you had to live in any apocalyptic world that you have, just any apocalyptic world, whatever, which apocalyptic world would you want to live in?
I'm a big dystopian nerd, so that's a really big question because I have a lot of apocalyptic worlds that I love. And actually, one of my favorites is from some young adult books called, it's a trilogy, and it starts out with a book called Ember. And that is probably one of my favorite post-apocalyptic worlds.
Who's that written by?
Oh, you would ask me the difficult questions. Let me Google real quick. I've got it open. But it's a great book. It takes place after, like, you know, a major catastrophe has happened. It's written by Jean Duprat.
Is it YA or is it more adult?
It is YA. It's okay. Definitely geared towards young adult, but I read it as an adult, and I did not think it, you know, like some YA books pander a little bit to their audience. They haven't quite realized that young adults like to read basically the same things that adults read.
I think they're kind of starting to get the message, but
they are. I think the quality of young adult literature has gone up substantially in the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
So it is a good read, and it's got complex concepts and stuff in there. And I just really enjoyed it. I thought she painted a really great world.
Well, and I asked because mostly for my daughter, who does also, actually, I think all of her friends and all are into this whole dystopian stuff, right? So, I mean, it's sort of, that is, you know, again, going back to the whole apocalypse thing, it's all sort of in the air, right? I mean, it's,
yeah,
which I hope it really isn't in the air, but literally. All right, so cool. So remind everybody again where you're at, you know, whereabouts in the Westin you're at, and also where they can find more information on your track and the Twitters and the Facebook things and those kind of things.
Awesome. Sounds good. We are located in the Westin. Basically, you walk in the main door and you can't miss us. It's in Chastain 1-2. And you can find out more information at apocalypserising.dragoncon.org, or we are also on Twitter, and that's at @AR_track_DC, or you can find us on Facebook at @ApocRising.
Sweet. So, Shannon, thank you very much for joining me today. I appreciate it. And I thank you too. That was Lee. saying that.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure. And again, thank you for all the hard work that you and the other directors and the volunteers, not staff, do.
I call them my team.
Oh, there you go.
I couldn't do it without my team. I have an amazing team, and many of them have been with me for years, and they are the reason why I stay sane before and during Dragon Con. They take care of me, make sure I eat, make sure I sleep.
Well, again, thank you. And thanks to them too, right? So making sure that you eat definitely. And drink and that you don't turn into a zombie, although I think probably by Monday you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This dog party is named so for a reason.
So until next time, this is John for Shannon
and Lee
saying peace.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.